I've been asked to continue on the theme of the culture of the kingdom as it relates to prayer. And my goodness, you can go to Tibet and you will see the prayer wheels put out on stands, and you'll see a little sail on it, and there's prayers all around this Tibetan prayer wheel, and this wind just blows on the sail, and when it does, it goes woo, 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 and it keeps spinning that wheel all around. And every time it goes around, all those prayers are said in their mind. So they have the Tibetan prayer wheel blown by the wind, and it goes up, 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 all these hymns, all these songs, all these prayers. Sincere seeking the spirit world. And there's a sense today in which today there's a great sense of the spirit world, the new age, the seeking after the obscure and the spiritual, the next world. And it's kind of a perverted yet sincere desire to find the reality that's not just materialism, but in the spirit world. And prayer is a desire to find something in the spirit world. Most people pray around the world to someone or something. It might be a stone, a tree, or an idol. It might be to God, whoever he may be. On and on. And so in the kingdom of God, one of the things that are breath for us is prayer. And so our subject today, prayer, simple enough for a child, profound enough for a scholar, which is simply to say that you parents, I hope you're raising your little children, and even if they start with what most of us started with, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Dads, I hope you're kneeling at the bed or the sofa before the kids go to bed. Now, Mom, you go do it. I will kneel with Mom, and we will say that little prayer with our little children this big. We're going to raise up a child in the way he should go. And we'll teach them that little prayer. And so I want to make sure we touch east to west on this thing. And we can't be younger than children. We can't be simpler than little children trying to be taught how to pray to our Father in heaven. You've got to start somewhere. You start right there. Start with that little prayer. Then I got really spiritual, and we cranked it. We'd crank a phrase on. Dear, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Then the next level up was, and bless Mommy, Daddy, and the missionaries. Amen. Next ramp up for children, right? So that was the next line. You got to remember the missionaries and Mommy and Daddy. And so you keep growing in that. And so parents today, I hope you are praying with your children that simple prayer. Just begin. I don't care if they're 3 years old, 4 years old. Start in. Raise them up in the way they should go. Of course, they're going to pray differently later. They may not pray at all and not get saved later, but they're going to have that seed in their heart that Dad prayed with me, Mom prayed with me. It doesn't have to be a great big illustrious prayer. It's a place of beginning, an example that they remember. Say amen. Thank you. You did not blow me away. Say amen. Thank you. You will not disturb the service if you say amen. All right. Thank you. Need some old-time Methodists around, what we need. All right. I mean the old kind. Now, for your prayer life, I remember when I first got converted and I went away at summertime to work in a Christian camp, and I'd read about all these great saints of God that get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, spend 2 hours in prayer, and I thought, gee, I want to grow in the Lord. I want to get up, and these men would give me an example. So I remember I was at camp down Camp Good News down in Massachusetts, out on Cape Cod, and it was there that I was counseling. It was there that I got converted, too, by the way. So I got up real early. I had teenage kids in my tent that I was being their leader for. I got up real early. So, well, the great men get up real early to pray. Well, I get up real early. I want to be a great man of God. I want to grow. I get up. I take my New Testament. I left the camp, went down to the woods, and I found a rock, and I sat there, and I said, I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to pray like the great men of God did. Well, I got there and I sat on the rock. It was kind of cold and it was kind of wet. And I read some scripture. I forget what it was. And I began to pray. And by the time I prayed through everything I could think of, about 8 minutes had gone by. And I thought, well, what am I going to do now? Then a mosquito started to bite me, and that wasn't too spiritual. And I sat there about 10 more minutes thinking, I'm not getting anywhere. This is great. No wonder they were great. They can endure this. I'm out of here. I went back to my tent. I mean, I had desires to grow in prayer, and so I did my best, but that's not how you do it. You don't jump from A to to L in one shot, and I was trying to do something that great men had done, but I didn't realize that they'd grown a good deal between the time they did that and the time they're spending 2 hours in prayer. So I want to encourage you today, in the midst of your rush and time, that you're going to take 5 minutes just to, if you do nothing but sit there in your comfortable chair. I don't say get a rock. Don't go in a rock somewhere. Don't go outside. Never mind the mosquitoes. It's too cold out anyway. And so just start to say, I will take 5 minutes today just to think on God and to pray. And we move up to the next prayer, which I want you to consider. Little children, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. You're teaching children, there's a father. He needs to keep you. If you should die before you wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. There's a heaven to go to. Little, these ideas, all right? And then our disciples, the disciples of 12, they had seen healings. They had seen our Lord's miracles. They had performed miracles. They had delivered people. They had cast out spirits. They'd done all these things. And it says that one day in Luke 11:1, that after the Lord was through praying at a certain place, they said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, it seemed like, okay, we've done all this. We've seen the power of God through our Lord and through us by his authority given to us. But you know what, Lord? When we hear you pray, would you teach us how to be like that with the Father? Would you teach us how to pray? It's the only thing they asked the Lord to teach them. They never asked him to teach us how to evangelize, teach us how to preach, teach us how to heal, teach us how to deliver from evil spirits. Teach us. They never asked him that. They'd seen it all, and they never asked him to teach him that, but they did ask him, will you teach us, Lord, how to pray? There's a sense in which it's more important for you and me to learn how to talk to God than how to talk to men. Yes. He who knows how to talk with God will know well how to talk to men. And prayer is talking to the Lord. It's also listening. And more I do far more listening than I do talking. Not because I don't have requests, but once they're laid out there, then I want to hear back from the Lord. Now, it's imperative that you enter the normal Christian life, which means that Christ is your Lord and Master, and that you've been filled with the Spirit of God. That's just normal Christian life. Many times through the years, we have just struggled to get normal. Sometimes the fullness of the Holy Spirit in this teaching has been opposed by good and godly men in their sincerity. But many times it's been modified. I say this kind of passingly here, like something appetizer before the entree. But that the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ was crucified by his enemies. The Holy Spirit has been crucified in the house of his friends. Now, I don't think it's as much today because we had 25 years of the charismatic movement. But at the front edge of that, the opposition to the work of the Holy Spirit was really, really stiff by the friends of God. That A, the Holy Spirit doesn't work that way today. That B, when you're saved, everybody gets filled. That's not true. It is for a few like Cornelius. If it happened to you, God bless you. But that's not basically true. The great majority of us will be filled with the Holy Ghost after we're converted. But when you cut that off and you modify that, when you dilute that, when you say it all stopped in 90 AD, when you say, well, I was in a church, it was Dr. Tozer's church, and they were too well taught to go for glitz. They were too well taught to go to the big splashy program. Because if you don't take away the work of the Holy Spirit, you've got to put something back in. And that's why if you leave the teaching on the fullness of the Holy Spirit out of the evangelical church, something else has to take its place. They will find big programs, glitz, human personalities, or whatever. Listen, sincere, I've been in churches, you could not improve on the organization or the presentation of anything they did in that church, whether it was worship team, skits, it was done to the ultimate max. And minus, many times, any impressions of the Holy Spirit. Sincere, godly people love God more than I do, for that matter. But I'm saying there's no, you know those things you used to say, take no substitutes. And you never take a substitute for the work of the fullness of the Holy Spirit because it goes in so many ways, especially touching on our prayer lives. And you will never be all God wants you to be until you've been filled to know it. And God will love you and forgive you and take you to heaven and answer prayers. But for us to come into what he wants for us, for his kingdom, necessitates that. And so the Holy Spirit's either been knocked off in 90 AD. He can go on retirement. He's been on vacation since 90 AD, basically. Except we need him to save people and convict people and send missionaries out. But in certain areas, we shut him down. Or we substitute something, programs, because we don't have that power and presence, so we have to go to programs or whatever. Or this church I was into, they were too smart and too well taught to go to glitz and programs, but neither would they follow on and let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit in that church after 28 years of Dr. A.W. Tozer, please and thank you. If you don't think that was a shock to yours truly, I was shocked for half the time I was there. And they could sit under that God-given prophet from God for 28 years, and might just as well, for many of them, whoopee over their head. Not only that, opposition to the work of the Spirit. Now, don't ask me how you can sit there for 28 years under Dr. Tozer and take his preaching and not get touched somewhere, either get in or get out. I was reading about General George Patton the other day, a very profane general, but probably one of the greatest generals that ever lived. He had a lot of quotes, and one of them was this: either lead me or follow me or get out of the way. Well, I'm saying the Holy Spirit, not here, glitz, but they wouldn't go with the Spirit, but neither did they want glitz. So you're left with kind of a lifeless evangelicalism. God spare us from that. You can still have people in this church can stand up and manifest the gifts. They can pray for the sick. We look for God's presence to manifest himself because we believe this. Told us if the half of the church is the Holy Spirit could leave you, you wouldn't even know he left because you can do it all so well yourself. You don't need the Holy Spirit. You got too much human power and glitz and organization, zip, zip, zip. We look for that dimension for which there is no explanation but God. Otherwise, we are no different than some men's organization downtown, the Good Fellows, the Odd Fellows, or all the other fellows. Okay? What's difference about when God's people come together? There's got to be a dimension. Doesn't mean you're losing your bobby pins and rolling the ground. There's got to be a dimension that there's a presence of God here that tells is doing something, and he's whether enlightening or encouraging or healing. But that's the difference. The church is not a man-made organization. It is a spirit-born, blood-purchased group of people who've been redeemed, coming together in fellowship with him, in the fellowship of the Spirit, filled with his Spirit, waiting on saying, Lord, what do you want, Lord? We're here. We'll hear the word. We're being taught. We're helpful. This is what it's all about. And this is where prayer comes in. So they said, Lord, teach us to pray. When we hear you pray, it's like, we hardly know what to do. Will you teach us how to pray? He says, yes. When you pray, you say what we all know. So if you want help in your spiritual and your prayer life, you start right here with the disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven. I'm using King James today, allow me. Our Father. And the word our Father comes basically in New Testament and teaching. You find it very seldom, a little bit in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, the new revelation word of God is Father. Our Father. In heaven, you have a Father. Some of you had terrible fathers. Some of you had no fathers. Some of you had mediocre fathers. Some of you had great fathers. And depending on whom you're talking to, some people choke on that. If they've been abused by their father, they're horrified by the word. Psychologically, doesn't kick in. You understand why. Those that have good fathers say, oh, I got that. Listen, fathers, you are the first link to your children in what God is like. When you say, our Father. Oh, Dad, I know Dad. Whatever you are not, this is not condemnation. It's just opportunity to touch that child's life. For what you were is the first step, not the only step and not the last step, toward knowing what God's like. Our Father. Oh, Father. That's who I pray. Our Father who art in heaven. So our Father in heaven is the first concept he wants us to see. Now, he's your father. If you're unsaved here this morning, he's still your father by creation. Everything in the world, every family, Paul says in Ephesians 3, I, for this cause, bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom every family in heaven and earth is named. The family of angels, he created them. The family of human beings, he created them. In that sense, he's everyone's father by creation. And then by the new creation, being born again, he becomes your Father spiritually. And so our Father says, our Lord Jesus said, now when you pray, you say, our Father. And you know, you can put your head on that pillow knowing what kind of a father he is. If he, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father be able to give good gifts to you? And so he says, rampant from your dad up to me. If they treated, they could give you good gifts. Think how much more I can do for you. Rest your head on this pillow. Our Father. Our Father. How wonderful. You have a Father that's all you could ever want him to be, who cares for you, who knows you inside and out, all the way through, and always will be our Father. Who art in heaven? You wondering about how to pray? Just pray through these lines. Our Father, we're talking to you, Father, who art in heaven. Now, our Father is omnipresent, which means he's everywhere present at one time and without dilution. He's everywhere present at one time without dilution. But in heaven, he's specifically and fully manifested. Now, God is as much in this room as he is in heaven. The difference is, he's fully manifested in heaven. And in this room or any other room, he can manifest himself in different ways and different kinds of expressions according to how he wishes. But you could not get any closer to God if you're in heaven right now. Geographically, you can't get any closer to God. He's right here. How he manifests himself to you and the level of it may vary. It does from service to service. But in heaven, he's fully manifested without impairment, impediment, or reduction. Our Father who art in heaven. That's where, if you allow me, where he headquarters. And yet, though he's fully manifested there, his spirit makes him omnipresent all over the world, here, there, Timbuktu, Cincinnati, Paris, Los Angeles, whatever. So no matter where you are, if you're in a foxhole in Afghanistan, if you're shopping Filene's basement in Boston, he is there. If you're down at work where there's nothing but cursing and swearing, he is there. If you're in some godforsaken tavern, he is there. If you're in your prayer circle, he is there. And we need the Spirit to fill us so we become aware of who he is and where he is and what he wants to do. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name. See, as a child of God in the culture of the kingdom, our Father, who art in heaven, we're starting all with him. Of course you're going to have needs. They come in later. Our Father, who art in heaven. Holy is your name. How you live and how you teach and how you work and how you do your business and how you contract and how you talk to your neighbors all makes God's name holy. How you do it, how you interplay, this thing small and large, how you deal with the cashier on the way out of the supermarket, makes God's name holy. They may not know it, but you are living, and don't think about it as such, but you can, that as you live and share and work, you are making God's name holy or not holy. By how I respond and how I am. I've got this, I played tennis with these four guys, and I've shared this in my Bible study, forgive me. And one guy is 92, playing tennis every Wednesday. And he's pretty good. He wants to volley everything. He doesn't want the ball to bounce. He takes it on the fly. 92. The other guys are a recovered alcoholic, retired lawyer. The other guy is crude and rude and a bulldozer kind of a guy. Now, this is not the group you want to go and have fun with, because they get, Mario is the other gentleman who's 92, and he likes to swear when he misses a shot and throw his racket down. Yes, he does. In fact, they had to put him off the court because he got so rambunctious. I was there when he went after a guy with a racket who swore at him on the other side. And I said, I went out to lay the desk. Said, you know, you better take care of this guy because someone's going to get shot around here. Are we having fun yet? Okay. Now, Bob, who is the rude, crude, shove-ahead guy, he likes to correct me all he can. There's enough to correct. You know what? You shouldn't do that. And he's calling every technicality in tennis that there is. I said, you know, this is not Wimbledon, you know. This is Wimpleton.
Okay.
There is a difference. Can we just relax? I mean, he's calling shots. I bet the field, the chair umpire doesn't even know exists. And partly, I think, it's because he wants to put me down. And that's okay. Because I think somehow, spiritually, I'm getting through to him. I know I am. And that's hard to take. So you've got to retaliate somehow. Now, how I respond to him will make Christ's name holy and God's name holy or not holy. And there are times when I say, Bob, will you just forget it? This is not Wimbledon. No one's going to lose even a Coca-Cola out of this game. And basically, I have said, hey, Bob, you're right. You know what, Bob, you're right. Let's go. You take the point. I get excited, and I yell when the point's going to be in my favor. Oh, boy, you can't talk. You're not supposed to talk when you hit that ball. And you're not. You're supposed to wait till that ball is dead, the play's over, point's over, and it's gone. Don't yell. You hear me? Would you like to play tennis with him each and every week? Other times, he's got it. And I have to decide whether God's name will be holy to that man or not. And now, finally, we're getting some traction. It's taking a long time. How you act and you respond, you hallowed be thy name, you make that name holy by how you live, talk, and walk. Our Father, who art in heaven, may your name be holy through my life. What else to say? We all know. Thy kingdom come. That's why we're here. That's why Lincoln's getting back from overseas. That's why Steve just got back. This is why this guy's going to play cricket all day tomorrow or today, whenever it is. Thy kingdom come. That's why you go to work. That's why you come home. That's why you have relationships and fellowship. Thy kingdom come. Now, what does that mean, thy kingdom come? It means the king comes. Now, the kingdom of God is this. First of all, the kingdom of God is his rule wherever he may be. So that when you got converted, you said, thy kingdom come, my kingdom go. Conversion is a change of government in the human life. I'm on the throne, I get off, thy kingdom come. And when you say thy kingdom come, the king comes with the kingdom. Except a man be born again, he shall not see the what? Kingdom of God. You want the kingdom, you get the kingdom to come with it. There's no king without the kingdom. Oh, I want to go to heaven, I want the kingdom of God. Well, the king comes with it. Oh, well, in that case, I'll have to think it over. Because I want heaven, but I don't want to go. I want heaven, but I want to run my own life. Wrong, you'll never see it. That's why conversion is a change of government in the human life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you should be saved. Thy kingdom come. Now, when you got converted, the kingdom came here. And now, since he came here and lives in you, you want that kingdom to extend to other people. That's why you pray for people that aren't saved. You pray that the kingdom will come to their heart, that the king and his rule will come in their lives. That's a change of government. We're not just selling health insurance policies. In fact, just is not the word. We're not selling health insurance policies. We can sell health insurance policies all day. Sign on, say the word, say the prayer, you're home free. Go live like you want just about. That is not conversion. That's not the New Testament. Thy kingdom come. It starts right here in your throne, and your heart becomes the throne. Say amen. Thank you. That's why it's a change of government in the human life. That's like when you walk down or drive down Dodge Street and you look in a business store that has some changes. You see a sign inside the window and it says, now under new management. That's conversion. Put the sign across here, now under new management. Thy kingdom come, my kingdom go. Dear Lord Jesus, thou art king. Come in, take over, and we will go from there. All right? You can pray that. How do I pray? All right? You praying for unsaved people? You pray thy kingdom come. Thy rule come here, thy rule come there. Because that's the problem. The problem is I want to be in charge, and we will not have this man to reign over us. We want all the benefits. He can break the bread, feed 5,000, raise the dead, heal the sick by the hundreds. But as far as his personal relationship to me, not now because I don't need him. I need what he can give me, but I don't need him. Difference between God loving us and we love him for himself as compared to what he can, quote, do for me. And for his children, he does very much, but that's not our motivation. It goes to that as a father, okay? Thy kingdom come. Then the second thing in the kingdom is he comes to your heart, but also he wants to come to the church. Thy kingdom come in a church. Rule in the church. I'll come back to that in a minute. Next is the Lord. Okay, I remember when Brother Schreier was having meetings with us. He had them about five times. He was in bed sick 10 years with tuberculosis. God miraculously healed him. He traveled for 30 years all over the world with a message of salvation, the fullness of the Spirit, and healing. Now, I remember one night he was closing up on the Sunday evening. And he was right at the front of the, at Trinity Church back when he was right there at the front. We were all praying for those that were coming. And two guys came in off the street because they must have, because I never knew them. I knew where they were from. They weren't dressed like we were going to church. But if they got, they came forward. Brother Schreier was praying. They wanted him to pray for him. Fine. But if you got within 6 feet of Brother Schreier that night, the Lord was manifesting his presence. And they could barely keep their balance and walk up to him. That's just how it was that night. You get here, you can sense the Spirit of God. You get here. Now, the God was all over the place, but he was manifesting himself in that way. And while you're right there, when our Brother Schreier had a meeting once up in Canada, and God began to revive and manifest his Spirit, thy kingdom come, unbelievers in that town would not drive within 6 blocks of that church because the manifest presence of God was there. Now, if you want to extend that, the last time I know of, you can help me if I'm wrong, of a national presence of the Holy Spirit was in Wales at the turn of the century, last century. And if you came over the borders from England into Wales, you would sense the presence of God. This is unbelievers and believers. And the Lord rested on Wales for the Welsh revival for those many weeks. That was a geographical manifestation of the Lord God, who was everywhere omnipresent anyway, but was pleased to manifest himself in that fashion. Now back to the church. I told you, thy kingdom come here, kingdom come in the church, localized, the kingdom come in an area, or even to a nation. Our focus right now, because I don't see God doing that in nationality, he's doing a lot in China and all the rest, I'll let it go by, but thy kingdom come to this church. Do we want the Lord Jesus to be king of this church, to be the ruler, the Lord, the master, the Father, the kind one, all the rest? And you're going to say, yes, so do I. Now, he may manifest himself here in different ways, but when he does, it is thy kingdom come. Manifest yourself, O Lord, in the way that pleases you today. Our job, is to be aware of him and to go with him as he leads. Sometimes just a plain service and sermon, and we bless God, we honor him, we've come there, Father, thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So thy kingdom come means the next one, thy will be done. When his rule comes to my life and you know how to pray, just pray right down these lines. You'll find out what to pray under these headings. Lord, thy kingdom come. Rule in my life. Rule in my family. Rule in my... seek, O Lord. Seek, O Lord, the unsaved of my children who don't know you yet. Bring your kingdom to bear on them, Lord. We want you to be their Lord and Master. That's why they were created. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Not approved. Not just known about. And these words come right through to me. Thy will be done. You know, on your desk in business sometimes, you have the inbox, the outbox. One guy had it from, he had changed it from in and out. He changed it to do and did. When he came in, it was to do. When after he got done, he stamped and put it in the did box. So when you and I know the will of God, it is to do it, not to approve it, to find it out only, but to go do it. It's going to take action or words or prayer or something. Do it. It might be as simple as a word of praise in your heart. It may be go across town and give Joe a tract. I don't know. But knowing him, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is it done in heaven? Perfectly? Instantly? Cheerfully? Oh, boy. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And folks, I'll let you pray beyond that yourself. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. everything we need. And forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are our debtors. You are as forgiven as you've forgiven everybody else. I am as forgiven as I've forgiven everybody else. That gets your attention. Because if you don't, that means God can't forgive you, and I can't take too much of that. And that's why, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into trials of beyond us, Lord. And keep us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Now, that's structure for praying. And if I'm out there sitting on that rock back in Massachusetts, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. If I'd known then what I know now, I could have been there probably half an hour at least. And just go through and let the Lord fill in underneath there what you need. And you'll find your life coming up. And you may go off other places, but if you have some question, well, how do I pray? Start this one. Thank the Father. Say, glorify your name. Thy kingdom come, Lord, in my life, my family. Pray to that end, the lost, the unsaved, whatever. Thank him. Thy will be done. What should I do to make you happy today, Lord? Just do that. And you'll have a basis for a culture of prayer which can be led off in any other directions God gives you. Now, we're going to close right now. And the Lord wants to bring his kingdom to some of you this morning. Some of you here don't know the Lord, and I invite you by the grace of our Father, who sent his Son to seek and save you, that you would repent today and give him your life and say, thy kingdom come, my kingdom go. Come in, forgive me, take over, Lord, we bless you, the kingdom. The Lord said, if you see me cast out spirits, you will know that the kingdom of God has come upon you with this manifestation. The rule of God is occurring now, the Lord said, when you see that happen. When people are healed, the kingdom comes. It's a manifestation of his kingdom, and that's what he wishes. There may be some who want prayer this morning. I'm going to close the service now, and we would pray for those that wish to and desire prayer. And I don't know how God will lead me or you, but if you're there, I'll pray for you, and others will stand with me. So rejoice today that the culture of this church is to be built and immersed in prayer all the way from now I lay me down to sleep, little children, to the most profound believer in this room who has found that there's no bottom to the experience, challenges, and privileges of asking our Father and learning what he wants, and we can say, thy kingdom come, all right? So dear choir, the worship team, you can come. They'll be playing softly. I'm going to close the service now. Those who want prayer will come forward, and we'll be in prayer for you. Shall we stand, dear ones, as this occurs? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, O Lord, to this place. Thy kingdom come, O Lord, to people whose hearts are lifted up to you. We thank thee, Lord, we have no program but you. We have no desire but you be glorified. And manifest yourself to those who seek you today in the way that will please you and them. Some of them, Lord, you've been talking to already about how they should be prayed for. Some of them don't. Some have just hunger. Guide us, Lord, to know how to pray and those who are here to pray for those. We thank thee, Lord, thou art in charge. And it's you, O Lord, who makes the service. It is you, Lord, who make it a level and an awareness that we need because we love you so much. These things we ask in the marvelous and unending name of our Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.